Welcome to the Business Benchmark Group podcast, where you'll learn how to think strategically about your business and discover that while business is not easy, it doesn't need to be hard. With over 20 years' experience in turning stalling businesses into thriving enterprises, here is your host, Stefan Kazakis, the founder and CEO of Business Benchmark Group.
Welcome to another inspiring episode of the Business Benchmark Group podcast, where we explore the journeys of accomplished business owners who are carving their own success and making a lasting impact on the business world. I'm your host, Stefan Kazakis, and today we're honored to have an extraordinary guest with us. Today we're thrilled to introduce you. Today we're thrilled to introduce you to Glenn Shannon, the owner of Handyman Steel Supplies. Also, Year 4 Business of the Year, Board Program Year 4 Business of the Year at Business Benchmark Group 2023. An awesome level of success. Glenn, great to have you here. And how do you feel as I just share the award that was won for your business in 2023?
Thanks, Stefan. Thank you for the intro. It just it sort of shines a light on what happened. As a business owner, you sort of think, well, okay, that's behind me. I've got to look forward. I've got to get stuck into what I'm doing. But as you described it, then it was a great achievement. It was a lot of hard work, and the recognition for our hard work was very, very welcome. Very welcome.
Now, congratulations. And as you know, Glenn, and many of our community members do know, I mean, awards at Business Benchmark Group, and as much as we'd love to give our clients awards for good looks and sympathy, we actually provide awards so that we got very clear black and white understandings on revenue growth year on year, gross profit volume growth year on year, and net operating profit growth volume year on year. So exceptional result for you and the team, and the ongoing success of your companies. And in fairness, there's two organizations that you're leading right now as a group: Handyman Steel Supplies and Steelcon. And it's with that sort of reference that I sort of wonder, what are some of the learnings that as an owner and a leader of two organizations, two businesses in the same industry, to a certain degree, focused on the same outcomes. How is that? How has that journey of owning two businesses of in the same industry going for you?
Well, you can see it's going, and it's going great. So there's double trouble, but it's very, very welcome. The reason we were able to split the business was because we had such a great year in 21, 22, I think it was. And the structural steel fabrication side of the business, just out of control, blew out. It was fantastic. Now, with that, we outgrew our factory here in Moorabbin, and we had to move the structural steel side of our business down to Braeside. So it's now three factories across two suburbs and 12 employees. So, yeah, it keeps you very, very busy. But not for the first time during this podcast, I'm going to mention team. It's team. If you've got the people in place, and those people are working to your values and your expectations and your guidelines, it makes my life as an owner a lot more enjoyable. And it's the team at Braeside and the Steelcon Fabrications has grown just recently. We've put in a general manager, which again, well, I hope will ease my load, and I can focus on Handyman Steel. So, yeah, we're all over the place. It's continually growing. You don't grow any moss under your feet. You're just continually moving. It's good. I like it. It's great.
Yeah, and I guess being an owner of a small business that eventually has got to continue to pivot and move with what the market demands are bringing to it, and the opportunity to divide I guess, product service offerings, sometimes doing it via two entities is a great model. And within that comes some of the learnings and some of the short-term challenges building competencies in each of those businesses and building scoreboards and predictability outcomes for each of those businesses. It's not, hey, let me use this one over there and that one over here. It's not like that. So there's those 1 degree points of separation that may feel like you're handling two very different beasts. But in fairness, having the fundamentals in place, absolutely continuing to build the right team for each of the entities is fundamental to its ongoing and promise success, in fairness. So, mate, well done. And, when we have clients that certainly divide and pivot and more importantly, leverage their opportunities. As business owners, we've got two options in terms of scaling our business. It's same product, new market, or new product, same market. So you've gone new product, same market, and it's absolutely an amazing point of scalability and leverage. Now, while I've got you there, how long have you been part of the Business Benchmark Group community?
I'm into my fifth year now. 2024 is into my fifth year, yeah. Been a journey.
And in saying that, the ups and downs of business are not, I mean, it's just, anyone that says, oh, no, I love business. It's so cool. It's so predictable. Expect the unexpected. What do you mean expect the unexpected? I mean, anyone that says that is certainly not running a real small business. But as it relates to the last, when you think about where you were 4 or 5 years ago, 55 months ago, and thinking about the journey, not only during Business Benchmark Group, but the post-COVID years, what have been some of the impacts in a positive way for your professional life, your business owner life, and how that's also rolled into your personal life, Glenn?
I purchased Handyman Steel as a rookie business owner. I had not run a business before. I'd been working in manufacturing for many, many years, and it was the where am I going into retirement type story. So let's go and buy a business and let's build it up and go to retirement. And that was in 2017. And as a rookie business owner, I rode the coattails of the previous owner for a year, and then my inexperience really hit me very, very hard. I mean, very, very hard. And I was told in no uncertain terms, you will go out and you will get someone to help you. So cut a bit of a long story short, I came across Business Benchmark, and I was done with Business Benchmark in February 2020. And we all know what happened a month later. And if not for Business Benchmark and the learnings that I got from them, the tools that I got from them, how to run a business, how to understand how a business is run over the next 2 or 3 years, I was in serious, serious trouble if I did not have those learnings. And when you say, how does that reflect on my personal life? Well, I got to a stage where I actually get a good night's sleep and I wasn't waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning stressing about what was happening next. So, and with that came financial stability. We were able to do more as a family because our finances were a lot healthier. And it's just been an up and up journey all the way along. It's been great.
Yeah. And I guess just, cause we have plenty of, listeners to our podcast who again are not exactly in the community yet. However, we talk about business and one thing that you and I have spoken about over the years, Glenn, that the ups and downs, it's almost what I said a couple of moments ago, expect the unexpected. And I guess one of the key tools that we focus on with our clients, no different in our own business, is, okay, when something just doesn't go to plan, it's the things you can control, the things you can't control, but something doesn't go to plan, how do we respond? How do we show up? How do we elevate, I guess, our responsibility to deal with something, as much as it may not be our exact preference to be dealing with, I guess, challenges or obstacles. But when you think about your business and the continual ups and downs and the peaks and troughs, when you deal with problems or challenges today on the back of, I guess, you know, the layers of experience in the last few years that you've embraced and the business success that you've certainly experienced, how do you deal with problems that may occur in the business that you know, were not planned, were unexpected, create a bit of fear and uncertainty? How do you deal with problems that may occur these days versus what you may have done, you know, 3 to 5 years ago?
I put my big boy pants on. I make big boy decisions that have big boy ramifications, and I deal with them like a big boy. And it will work out. It will work out. I made a major, major decision just recently, which I'd never thought I would make, but I did. It's created a massive situation for me to deal with. I've dealt with that situation, I feel personally, in a very, very good manner. And my outlook on the future is really, really promising and bright. So it's about, and again, I talk about team. This is team orientated, these decisions that I've made. It's about having the information to make the decision. Don't go into it blind. Resource it. Talk to people. Talk to you. Talk to someone in the industry. Talk to people and get an informed decision made. You've got to make that decision and you've got to stick with it and you've got to work. You've got to go through it. Don't get halfway through and go, shit, what have I done? You've made the decision. Push through it because you know the outcome at the end is going to be what you need.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, a challenge occurs or we get to a point where, you know, there's a crossroad and let's just go with team, or sometimes it can happen with a client. Sometimes it can happen with a legacy product or service or even a system, right? Even location, you spoke about Moorabbin and Braeside. So sometimes there's a crossroad and that crossroad can be embraced from a position of denial. I don't know if I can make this decision. I don't know if I accept I need to make this decision. And therefore what happens, Glenn, is the status quo or inertia, which all that does is just it doubles down and triples down on the problem because we've avoided truly investigating or unpacking or getting more clarity, more certainty out of what would it look like if I went with plan A? What would it look like, again, crossroads, if I went down road number two versus road number three? So, you know, the whole thing at a leadership level, whether it's your immediate team, it's a client, it's a location, all those bigger in context decisions that need further critical thinking, if we don't do those plans or if we don't embrace those plans with the level of, I guess, now I can see my plan B. Now I can see if that didn't work, what I can do next, or what is the worst thing that can happen from making this decision. If you don't have those elements of clarity in a decision that is of a higher strategic level or nature, then you're typically going to be making an emotional or irrational or what could be a very costly mistake. And therefore, that's what will define every decision you make from now on. So the fact that you slowed down, you were at a crossroads, it seems like it was a difficult decision. It was team-based. Now, when we make a difficult team-based decision, just to be really clear here, what we're also doing is giving someone, an individual that is, a chance to succeed somewhere else. Because sometimes, even within our own team, some people are probably better served to start fresh somewhere else. There's nothing wrong with that. Just like an owner with a new client or a new product. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the fear of the uncertainty that can absolutely hurt us. So the ability to make better decisions, Glenn, you've had this opportunity taken on and building this new part or new component to the group called Stillcom, which is amazing and going so well. And we're continuing to understand that it's a people thing now. Your business is no longer that baby business that we met 5 years ago. It's a business not so much that it's grown up to be an adult, but it's thinking differently. It has a very different risk profile now, and it has absolute obligations that it wishes to deliver on time and on budget, not only internally back into the stakeholders and the team, but also externally to our clients and our suppliers. So when you think about where you are and what the next 2 to 3 years looks like, and you know, feet on the ground and the journey of business, how do you predict the next 2 to 3 years playing out for you in your industry, in your business, and what does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question, because as I think I might have mentioned earlier, I've got a general manager starting next week. I'm really excited about that. What he brings to the table, what he brings to the business, we haven't had before. I was very, very excited by what he presented in the interview when we onboarded him. The way he can develop an existing business and the way this business needs to develop, I find very, very exciting. So I'll be working. It's not a case of, okay, there's a general manager of Steelcon now, I'm heading over to Handyman. It'll be a case of me working very, very closely with the general manager, and taking the business to where it needs to go over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about that, does that fuel you with, again, fire in the belly and excitement and again, optimism? Or does that like feel like, oh, no, now I need to go one step back or three steps back, and if only it was different? I mean, how do you get fueled with this, again, this crossroad for the next phase, this next phase? Like, this could be the first year of a five-year plan for the business. I mean, when I say that, just as a reference, and I'm also living the first year of a five-year plan at Business Benchmark Group, and it's quite exciting for me to feel that. But for you, when you think about this is the first year of the next 5 years as a plan, what goes through your mind when I say that?
I get excited by learning something new. I don't care what it is. You know, it might be watching AFL and looking at stuff, wow, look at that. You know, that's great. Basketball, I love my basketball. I get excited with learning and doing new things. So the fact that I've got a new person coming in with new ideas, new processes, new techniques, I actually get very excited by that. And that's why I want to be working closely with him so I can actually learn from him as well. So I've been doing this for, 7 years now. I don't know everything. I don't know a pinch of it. I need to still keep learning. And as you say, I'm 60 years old this year, and there's a new 5-year plan in place starting this year for myself as well. I do it every 5 years. And retirement's at the end of my fifth year. So, building Steelcon up over the next 2 to 3 years, I'm really looking forward to, because I'm going to be learning something new and watching someone new do stuff that I haven't seen before. So that really excites me.
Mate, well done. And I know enough about this this particular piece to have spoken to many, many business owners over the journey, and many of my mentors who have grown amazing businesses in their own right. And you know, when it's all done and dusted, when we get to that place where we call it a day, let's call it a retirement as the reference here, you don't think back on your career or your journey in work or business from the perspective of how much money I made. You look at it from the perspective of how many people did I actually help become better versions of themselves. So when you're a leader, it's truly about how do I ensure I'm creating an environment where people can be a better version of themselves, and we're driven by scoreboards. Like, that's the accountability piece, right? Yeah. So if you talk about AFL teams, only improve by virtue of keeping a real close tab on the scoreboard. What didn't happen that should have happened? What should have happened that didn't happen? Mm. So when you think about the next 5 years, and, mate, you look young for your age. I didn't realise you're hitting that beautiful age of 3,000 weeks, mate. Well done. Congratulations on that. And you look so young, mate. And from what I can see on your socials, you're having a lot of fun on a course, which is amazing as well. So, mate, power to you. And if this is the first year of a five-year plan, then it's only a five-year plan if the piece around the team continues to elevate.
Yeah.
So as the head honcho, the leader of our organization, and now starting to hire leaders into the business to help your future leaders be stepping up, what would you say are the critical one, two, three traits that you look for? Like in your most recent search, what were you truly looking for as a critical trait in the person that you were, trying to attract? Now, again, remember, we're not mad scientists here where they need to be perfect. No chance. And in fairness, we're dealing with people where, you know, even in ourselves, we're not perfect. So, but for you and still kind of in the business, what are the three critical traits that you look for in leadership to give you the confidence that you think you've got the right person in front of you?
The first thing I look for was obviously is experience. What have you done in the industry? What's your background? Yes, I've done structuralists. I've done fabrication. He ticked all those boxes in, do I have the necessary experience? That's fine. The next thing, and not in any particular order, mind you, relatability. Can you talk to this guy? How does he talk to you? Do you feel comfortable talking to him? Would you have a beer with him outside work? And that sort of thing. It's very, very important that your employees or anybody that you're managing is comfortable to go to you and talk to you about whatever's on their mind, whether it be a piece of paper, how does this join this, or, you know, I'm not feeling well today, my grandfather passed away, da-da-da-da-da, that sort of thing. You've got to be relatable. You must be relatable. And the other thing is, you know, leadership, which can come down to, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 different criteria. How you present yourself. Are you first in at work? Are you last out? You're not out the front smoking and drinking coffee while the others are inside work, and that sort of thing. You've got to present yourself as a leader. So leadership, relatability, and obviously experience.
Mate, fantastic. I love that. And thank you for sharing that. Now, we're speaking to Glenn Shannon, the owner of Handyman Steel and Steelcon, amazing businesses out here in Melbourne's southeast, and a phenomenal business owner who literally recently was awarded Board Year Level 4 Business of the Year 2023 at Business Benchmark Group, which I can assure does not happen because you're just good looking or you look younger than you actually are. So, yeah. Mate, congratulations on that. What are the three key areas of your business? I mean, the team piece and the evolution of your organizational chart, no surprise that that is a critical piece. What would you say number two and number three are for you in the three key areas of your business that you want to continue working on, that you're most looking forward to putting energy and effort in as the CEO or the owner of the business? What do you see that over the next 12 months, team being number one and obviously the leadership and the look and feel of the org chart continuing to evolve, but what's number two and number three? If you think about what you need to continue to work on and looking forward to, what would they be for you, Glenn?
So clearly with the move to Braeside, that was a commitment to take the business to the next level. Now, to do that, we need that increase in revenue, clearly. But what I will be really focusing on is new work, bringing in new work, new customers. We've got some very, very good customers. We've got some very, very good customers. But, you know, there's a lot more out there. There's a lot more out there. So bringing new work into our business to increase the revenue is critical for our growth. And the third thing is having that revenue is no good if the bottom line isn't healthy. You know, it's no good getting the work and not getting the profit from it. So running a very efficient business, less rework, less recalls, greater efficiencies is really crucial to it.
So just because, again, there's up to 4,500 people that listen to the podcast every month. So if you were to describe what your ideal job is as it relates to what you just shared, you know, new business, new opportunity, you know, we've got bigger, you know, got broader capacity and deeper capacity to deliver now. So if you were to describe what is Steelcon's ideal job, what would you say? How would you describe that? What is the ideal job for a Steelcon project?
We had a great project a couple of years ago, which helped us with our, and I think, don't quote me here, I think there was about 85 ton of steel in it. That job was 5 times bigger than anything we had ever even thought about. And we absolutely smashed it. So we can do jobs anywhere from 50 ton and above because we've got processes in place that we've got so much better at what we do. The steel gets ordered, it comes out, comes in processed, et cetera, and we schedule our installations around it. So it's a medium to large builder, not a volume builder by any chance. It's a medium to large builder that is dealing in $6 to $7 million projects that we can do the steel side of that project for. That's not the size of the steel in the project, but that's we can do the steel portion of a project that big, and we can do it comfortably with the facilities we've got now.
So with I guess we're talking about tracking down new opportunities, and that is the description that we have just shared as it relates to our ideal job. If there was two customers that fit that sort of mold in the next 12 months that you'd love to be given an opportunity to work with, who would they be?
One of our very good customers who does this sort of work is a builder called Keymatch. That sort of builder that do projects of that size. Now, the other thing that we will be doing is we'll be tendering for a lot more jobs. We'll be getting involved with builders that are doing jobs of that proportion. So there's a number of companies out there that I would really like to develop relationships with. But at this stage, that's in its infancy. And it's just baby steps towards that.
Oh, absolutely. And again, just continuing to, you know, literally just even brainstorm what the hunter's list looks like is to our advantage, that's for sure. Can you share any of our specific tools that you have found valuable at Business Benchmark Group, of course, that you have found valuable, whether it's the coaching support, the roundtable groups, the monthly financial report, the ability to understand your total employment cost versus income ratios, your liquidity ratios? What have you found as specific tools that have helped you, even when things are going amazing or even when things are seeming like the walls are caving in, have kept you front and centre to where you need to be focused on?
Yeah. Look, without a doubt, the roundtables were a great source of, one, for me, comfort in the early days because I realised I wasn't alone. And they've been really, really good with hearing the stories of others, other like-minded people. So the round tables are great. All the tools, the work in progress, the cash flow, all those tools have been great for us to give us a bit of an understanding on where we're heading. And I still love the monthly report. I get the monthly report. And I just get into that straight away, and I love the detail in the monthly report. It's very, very helpful to us. We can compare month to month to month on how we're going, and that's very good, very informative.
Yeah, mate. Thanks for sharing that. I'm gonna ask a couple of questions, and I'm gonna get you to fill the blank, right? So you don't need to overthink this. I just want you to just literally fill the void, let's call it, right?
Yep.
So Business Benchmark Group helped me
learn how to be a good business owner, an informed business owner.
Logic versus emotion.
Logic versus emotion. Probably goes back to what I mentioned earlier. If it's got to be done, you need to do it. You've got to do it.
Delegation.
Critical.
Why?
You can't do it all yourself. You cannot do it all yourself. I tried and tried and tried, and I just dug a massive hole for myself. You've got employees, you pay them a weekly wage, give them responsibility and follow that up with accountability.
Excellent. When we reflect on our award winners, one similar trait is that you do the work, mate. You just don't watch something happen. This is not big business. This is small business where the grind and the daily grind until such point, it's no longer what it used to be, is the case. So can you walk us through your typical day and expand on how you push through when the days are crazy busy or crazy, crazy?
So from where I live in Mount Martha, which is down on the peninsula. Now, my trip to work, I've got to drive past Braeside. So my first stop will be to Braeside and Steelcon, and I'll meet with my team there on what work is on. Every Monday morning, I'll have a toolbox meeting with the guys there. And I'll stop there every morning. How did we go yesterday? How are we going today? What have we got on tomorrow? And once that's all sorted, I will come to Raven, and I'll meet with the guys here. And then, you know, what jobs are on the go, what's needed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That takes me pretty much up to lunchtime. So there's half my day gone, just checking in with everybody that we're all good, everything's organized, we have no issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And from there, it's basically email checks and business owner time. I'll spend probably the best part of 3 hours on business owner time, whether it be checking in on customers or you know, have the quotes, the pipeline, the work pipelines, outstanding invoices, you know, does something need to be, you know, attended to and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's a you know, you leave the house at 6 and you'll get home at generally 5 every day. Every now and then you might get out for a couple of hours early on an afternoon, or you might have to stay back until 7. It just varies. You need to do what you need to do.
Yeah, and in fairness, I mean, there's a routine there that typically defines a typical day, which is you know, that's awesome because it's typically not like that in the days when there was no structure. Have you found a special place for your award trophy?
What, this one?
And when times are good or times are not so good, do you go to it and at least have a look at it and think, you know what, I deserve that, I earned that, and I'm gonna get back to that, or I'm gonna continue with that.
Yeah. No, look, I, in all seriousness, I was shocked when I saw my name come up on the screen. Holy shit, I've just won something, you know. And as you said in your intro, you look back on it and you go, well, hang on a minute, we went all right. We there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work. And if you look at the figures, we've done really, really well. Really, really well. So, yeah, it is something that I'm very, very proud of.
And it's easy to get caught up when things, again, just highlighting for everyone, because it's a little bit of a theme in this mess in this podcast. You know, sometimes you will have a dip. Sometimes things are not going to go to plan. Sometimes things that are not expected will happen, and therefore you can sort of get so caught up in that stress and in that hoo-ha, and you forget about all the flowers in the flower bed because we've got a few weeds now. And you know, there's such a power to learning how to, you know, approach everything with a bit of a plan, approach everything with a bit of thinking time, critical thinking. And typically what happens if you do more of that than less as the business continues to move forward is you have what is, you know, you have positive impact on all things whether they're good or bad, and that's the difference. So you have had an exceptional journey in the last in the last 4 or 5 years, and we haven't finished. As in, there's still some work to be done, and I'm really excited about where and what you and Karen drive the business to in the next 2, 3, 4 years as you head into this next amazing phase of this next part of your personal life and your business life. But again, I'll just highlight watching you and Karen enjoy your after hours and literally enjoying life as part of the journey that you're on has been really, really cool. And I applaud you for that. And that just didn't happen. That happened because you've made it happen, and you've made that decision. This is your commitment to your business. This is your commitment to your life, and both of them, more often than not, are high quality. So well done on that, Glenn. I think the story and the journey of business is misunderstood, and many of us feel like if I work hard, that's got to equal success, and it doesn't. Yep. Working hard is not just the only recipe. And if I had one more thing to ask you with a blank to be filled, when I say, is the juice worth the squeeze, what do you say?
Absolutely. I mean, you don't get lucky. Sorry, I've lost the thing. The hardest workers are the luckiest good workers. Well, no. The hardest workers deserve their reward. They deserve the extra juice. If they're going to put in extra squeeze, they deserve extra juice.
Absolutely. And as a final point, if you had any advice to give for any future business owners who are considering or are joining the Business Benchmark Group programs, what would you say to them?
Look, as I've said through this podcast, it's the tools that you're given in your early days. If you need those tools, they're so helpful for you. But the support that I've had since, I've just, yourself, I've been through a bit of a rough time lately. The support from yourself and your team and Damien has just been phenomenal. It's just got me through a really tough patch because I made a big boy decision, and which came with big boy consequences. And your help and everything, your guidance to get me through that was amazing.
Mate, I appreciate you and everything you stand for, and the team are absolutely part of that statement. Mate, power to you and everything you do. And just when you think you're in the deepest of holes, the first thing you do is throw the shovel, right? Just get rid of the shovel to begin with. But, you've pushed through that. You dealt with that. And, of course, we were here to support and ensure that you had, at the very least, a shoulder to lean on when needed. But most importantly, you own your decisions, mate, which means you own your actions, and therefore your results will continue to be what they have been for a considerable level of time. They are at the best end of a trend. So we're thrilled to have had Glenn Shannon, the owner of Handyman Steel Supplies and Steelcon, with us today. An amazing business owner who is on the journey, blood, sweat and tears, all in as it relates to driving and striving and driving the business to a level of predictability. And team is the big piece now, continuing to build that. So it's been a pleasure to have had you on our podcast, Glenn, and I truly appreciate everything that you've shared and everything you stand for, mate. Power to you. And don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Thank you, Glenn. Pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you very much, Stephen. Thank you.
For more information about Business Benchmark Group's coaching, education, and training programs, visit businessbenchmarkgroup.com.au or call 03-9001-0878. If you liked this podcast, please rate it on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud and leave feedback as well. Stephen shares so much value in all his podcasts, and we encourage you to go through the archives and listen to other episodes of the Business Benchmark Group podcast. Thank you for listening.